sold.
This shmooz was inspired by many Talmidim over the last few years, but specifically one Talmid about a week ago. I told him we're switching in the afternoon, said we're going to learn Megillah from now, you know, until we finish. And he responded by saying he'd really prefer to learn Ksubis. So I felt good, you know, like, wow, doing all right over here, doing all right. He wants to keep learning Ksubis. I guess we're doing a good job. So yeah, you know, like, I don't want to buy another Gemara. So I remembered Rosh Hashanah Aleph, I also learned Megillah. We learned Megillah in the middle of the year. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn over here. This was the sentiment amongst a bunch of my friends. We were learning Megillah. It was a naive sentiment. But it's like, all right, like, that's a whole Masechta. How many more Masechtas are there in Shas? Like, Megillah's going to be down. Let's go. Like, what's up next? Yavamos? You know, like, I'm ready. All Shas. That was the attitude. I really felt that way. And then I was so disturbed by the contrast in terms of the response, so I thought, there has to be a shmooze. There has to be a shmooze. A shmooze about she'ifos, about aspirations, about goals, you know, things that I can accomplish when it comes to Talmud Torah. There's a very famous Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says, a person should never think like the tipshei umos ha'olam think, like the rov golmei Yisrael think, lots of silly people in the world think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer al adam mitchilas briyaso liot tzadik or rasha. Hashem determines in the beginning of a person's life, is this guy going to be a tzadik or a rasha? No, ein hadavar kein. It's not so. El kol adam ve'adam roi lo liot tzadik ki Moshe Rabbeinu. Every person, each and every person, the Rambam says, is capable of becoming a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's crazy. It's an unbelievable thing. So B'chanan Wasserman in Kopetz Ha'aros, he says, not so fast, you know, it doesn't mean he could be exactly like Moshe Rabbeinu. It means that just like Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled his potential, and he served Hashem with all of the kolkos that he had, so each and every one of us also, on our own levels, can serve Hashem with all of our kolkos, we can fulfill our potentials. Rabbi Chanan. And the Mefarshim were bothered by what's the source of this Rambam. So, Rav Nevin Sal, in his Sichos, in Sefer Bereishis, so he offers a source, and in the course of offering the source, so he says that, no, he takes the statement a little bit more literally than Rabbi Chanan did. So where does the Rambam know that a person can be like Moshe Rabbeinu? Can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the makor? Says the Gemara is from Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara quotes a pasuk: Ve'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach Ki'im Li'ira. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Bnei Yisrael on behalf of Hashem, and he asks, now Jews, what does Hashem ask of you other than to have Yira Shemayim? And the Gemara asks, you know, what is this? What is it that Hashem asks of you other than to have Yiras Shemayim? What is Yiras Shemayim? A small matter? Where it says, yeah, for Moshe Rabbeinu it's a small matter. And Rav Nevinzal points out that the Pasuk is not speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pasuk is speaking to all of Bnei Yisrael. So apparently there's an expectation that just like Moshe Rabbeinu achieved the level of Yiras Shemayim that he achieved, so each and every one of us also is meant to achieve that level of Yiras Shemayim. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Rav Nevinzal says. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like. There's a rokeach on this Rambam. He quotes a Tanya Debe Eliyahu that many of the Mefarshim discuss, that a person is obligated to say, this is a different makor, a different source. A person is obligated to say, Chayav Adam Lomar, Emasai Yagiyu Maasai, L'maasai Avosai, Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov. A person has to ask himself, when will my deeds arrive at the deeds of my forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I can be like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the Rambam says, if I can be like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Not letting you nevuah, not in terms of being a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, but maybe having your Shemaim like Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe fulfilling our potential like Moshe Rabbeinu, being like the Rambam says, a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. We can do it. I'm not saying he's like Moshe Rabbeinu necessarily yet, but I was just in America, and I spoke to my chavrusa from when I was in YU. We learned together for 3 years, and today he's a periodontist. And he told me this, a couple of years ago, but I just inquired because I couldn't help myself. I wanted to know if he's still maintaining the same schedule. And he is. The guy learns Daf Yomi every day at 5:45 in the morning, every day of the week. Except for 2 days a week, he gives the shiur. He doesn't listen to the shiur. 2 days a week, he's on rotation. It's his day to give the shiur. 5:45. On those days that he gives the shiur, so he has to prepare for it beforehand. So the night before he goes to sleep around 10:30 or 11 o'clock, he wakes up at 2:30 in the morning. He prepares the daf. He told me now, Yevamos is very difficult to happen. He prepares the daf from 2:30 a.m. to about 5:30 a.m. And then he goes to shul, gives the shiur, and then he goes to work. Tremendous things. A person who has aspirations. He wants to know shas. You want to know everything? I'm not talking about being a rabbi. I'm not talking about learning in kolo. I'm talking about a periodontist. Not that there's anything wrong with that. A periodontist. And you want to know shas? So you find a way to learn shas. If that's your ratzon, if that's your she'ifa, if that's my goal, if I'm driven to do it, so I could do it. I could do it. Rav Wolbe and Ali Shur quotes a very famous statement. He doesn't say who says it. I've heard it. Hashem the Kotzker. I don't know. I'm sure other people have said it. Ein lecha davar ha'omid b'fnei ratzon. If there's something that somebody wants, if this is my goal, if this is my drive, so then nothing can stop me. Chazal say, "B'derech shadam rotzei leilech molichin also." The way a person wants to go, Hashem takes him. Hashem leads him down that path. Nothing can stop me. And Rabbi says, if I'm not achieving the things that I want to achieve, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, so sometimes people say things like, "Ah, I need siyata dishmaya. I need Hashem to help me. What can I do? I'm limited." So says Rav Wolbe, La'asid lavo, a person who makes a statement like that, I need siyata d'shmaya, so what do you do? You're complaints. Hashem, you're not helping me out. Asid litein asadin. That person will be called to judgment for such a statement. What do you mean you need siyata d'shmaya? You know what the problem is? You don't want it bad enough. If you wanted it bad enough, ein lecha davar ha'omid b'fnei ratzon. Again, within the realm of reasonable possibilities. But if you wanted it bad enough, you would have it. And we all have a potential. And what if I don't do it? What if I don't live up to that potential? What if I don't want it the way I should? So Rav Dessler quotes a medrash. It's a scary medrash. Medrash from a few weeks ago was Parsha by Yaakov Avinu in the ladder. V'hine malacha elokim olim v'yordim bo. Yaakov has a dream. There's a ladder. He named Sulam Mutzav Arza with the bottom on the ground. And the top of the ladder reaches the sky. And there's angels going up and down the ladder. The Medrash says, who are these angels? So there's one angel, the angel of Madai, Bavel, Paras, Yavan. The angels, the ministering angels of all different nations, they go up and they go down, they go up and they go down. And Hashem turns to Yaakov Avinu. He says to Yaakov, go up the ladder. Climb the ladder. What does Yaakov say? Shema chas v'shalom. Kishem shele elu yirida. Athli kein. Maybe if I climb the ladder, just like those angels climbed the ladder, and then they came down. So if I climb the ladder, I'm also going to be forced to come down. And Hashem says to him, Amar lo kadosh baruch hu, Da'ata al tira. Don't worry, Yaakov. Imata ole, ein lecha yirida. Olamas. If you go up the ladder, Yaakov, you will never ever come down. Go! Climb the ladder! You'll never come down! It's Hashem speaking. You'll never come down. What does the Medrash say? What is Yaakov's response? Lo he'emin velo ala. He didn't believe, and he didn't climb the ladder. And the Rav Dessler quotes a Maharal. He doesn't say it in the Lashon, but I think it fits in very nicely to the Lashon. Lo he'emin, it's not that he didn't believe Hashem. He didn't believe in himself. He didn't believe that he could do it. He wasn't driven strong enough to climb. And so he didn't climb. What happened? So says the Medrash, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ilu he'emanta ve'alisa. If you would have believed Yaakov, and based on the Maharal, based on Rav Dessler, if you would have believed Yaakov in yourself, and you would have climbed the ladder the way you could have, lo yarata, you never would have gone down. Ve'achshav shelo he'emanta ve'lo alisa, but you haven't climbed. Asidim banecha shumishtabim b'dalad malchios ba'olam hazeh. Because you didn't climb that ladder, Yaakov, your children are going to suffer through all the galus that we've suffered through ever since. Because Yaakov couldn't climb the ladder. Because Yaakov couldn't perfect himself the way Hashem knew and expected that he should have. At that time, so Yaakov's children suffer forever after. Not forever after, but until Mashiach comes. And Rabbi says this is very relevant. These manas that teach in every one of us. It's not only Yaakov. We all have a mandate. We're all charged with climbing our own ladders. We all have to be like Moshe Rabbeinu in our own way. And if we don't climb the ladder, so it's not only hurting ourselves, it's hurting all of our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, anybody who comes from us, anybody who's going to be influenced, anybody who's within our sphere of influence for the rest of our lives is losing out on who we could have been. It's a pachat. It's terribly scary. So why don't we climb? Why don't we jump in? Why don't we do what we know we're able to do? What we know we should be doing? Why not? So there's a few reasons. The Anaf Yosef on that Medrash says, why didn't Yaakov climb the ladder? He says, because he saw all the other angels climb the ladder, and then they came down. And then Anaf Yosef says, the reason that they came down is because they went up. So Yaakov saw, and he said, if I climb, maybe the fact that I climbed will also cause me to fall down. I'll explain to you the story. I saw a story in a Sefer book, a biography about Shlomo Freifeld. It's good to read. Rav Freifeld was the Rosh Hashiva of Shar Yashiv, and he was very into this idea of Ratzon, of a person having a drive, a person being motivated. So the story there like this, he was speaking to a bunch of Talmidim about exactly this idea, and he saw that people were kind of like, you know, what some of these guys are doing, nobody, it wasn't clicking. So he said, you guys are all so old. You know, you hear from old people, this is the way I've been, this is the way I am, there's nothing I can do about it, I can't change, I can't anything. You guys are so old. He's like, let me tell you a story about a young woman that I once met, said Rav Firefield. This young woman is in a nursing home, not far away from the yeshiva. She was a Russian immigrant to America. Her name is Mrs. Gingold. She was over 100 years old. And her Freifeld went to visit her, and they were eating lunch together, except that she wasn't eating. And he asked her, you know, Mrs. Gingold, an old, frail lady, over 100, why aren't you eating? Don't have an appetite. So she said, listen to what happened. Last week, or last month, I don't remember exactly how long before, my nurse, Barbara, was administering a shot to me. She's been my nurse for many years, faithfully takes care of me. I'm so appreciative to her. And I was having a bad day. And she was also having a tough time with the shot, and she poked me a few times, and it really hurt. So I started yelling at her, berating her. You know, what's your problem? I'm an old lady, can't you be more careful? What? Berating her. And then afterwards, I felt so bad. I asked her forgiveness, I apologized numerous times, but I felt so bad, I thought I needed to do some type of tshuva, so I accepted it on myself, I'm going to fast on Bahab. Every Monday, Thursday, Monday, and the month after we have Sukkot and Pesach, right? If you remember from the beginning of this year, after Sukkot we had Bahab, we had a lot of Slichos. So this lady, she's over 100-year-old Russian lady in a nursing home, she started fasting Bahab. So her friend said, this is a young lady, a lady who knows there's no such thing if I can't. I can't change, I'm too old. No! And all you sitting around the table, you're old men. You're so cynical. You're stuck in the way you think you are. And you refuse to change. I just saw, Derech Agav, there's a chat, you know, there's a minhag that we have, it's in Shulchan Aruch, to eat only Pas Yisrael during the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. during the Seder Simchat, only to eat bread baked by a Jewish baker, even though it's mutter to eat bread baked by a non-Jewish baker during the year. Pas Yisrael during the Seder Simchat is a special chumrah. Baruch Shulchan Aruch. So first we ask, what is this? 10 days we try to trick God into thinking that we're keeping Pas Yisrael? No! Not tricking God. We're teaching ourselves that we can change. Just because the whole year I act one way, just because this is who I've been, doesn't mean that I can't change. For these 10 days, I'm going to eat Pas Yisrael to show myself that I'm capable of changing. So Yaakov Avinu sees all the other angels going up the ladder and falling down. And he says, maybe if I go up, maybe if I try to change, I won't be able to maintain it. What am I going to be somebody who I'm not? This is who I am. This is how I've always been. I can't do anything differently. If I go up, it's only going to cause me to fall down. That's an old man speaking. An old man. Not a young woman like Mrs. Gringle. There's a medrash. Let's say a person is willing to, okay, let me open up, broaden my horizons a little bit. I'm going to learn, I'm going to try. So the medrash says, there's a story about three people, and I would like to suggest that maybe it's all one person, just in different stages. There's just three people who decide that they want to learn, and it gives three mishalim to these types of people. Mishal number one. A guy, he sees this big, hard block of dirt. And it's like huge, it's blocking the whole path, you know, he can't get by. So he looks at the one guy, the tipesh, the Medra says, he looks at this big block of dirt, hardened and old. He's like, ah, it's impossible, I'll never get by this. I can't. Goes the other way, leaves. Another guy comes up to it, a chacham, comes up, he sees this block of dirt, he's like, listen, eventually I have to get by, I have to get to the other side. So what does he do? He takes a little spoon, he chisels. A couple chisels every day. You know, anybody who sold the Shawshank Redemption, you know, in the jail cell, chisel. So he chisels every day, a couple of chisels. You know, a week goes by, a month goes by, a year goes by, time goes, years go by, it's gone. He removes the entire boulder from the path with his little chisels every day. So says the Medrash, when it comes to Talmud Torah, you see a big world of Torah out there. And the way the Anaf Yosef over there in the Medrash explains, he says, the Torah at this stage is compared to dirt. It's gross. It's uninteresting to me. It is bland and dry. And you have this tipesh who looks at the Torah, overwhelmed by its size, underwhelmed by its interestingness, if that's a word. And he's like, ah! Goes the other way. And then you have the chacham. He said, listen, everybody else seems to be into this boulder. I'll see what's on the other side. So he chisels a little bit every day. Two halachas today, two halachas tomorrow, two halachas the next day. All of a sudden, he gets the whole boulder. Psst, wow. And then there's stage two. The Medrash says there's a guy who walks into a room, big room, and he sees hanging from the ceiling a loaf of bread. So, the tipesh, the unwise onlooker, looks up at the loaf of bread. He's like, wow, it's all the way up there, all the way down here. It's impossible to get it down. He leaves. Chacham walks into the room, sees the loaf of bread. He's like, wow, somebody must have hung the bread from the ceiling. If somebody else could get the bread up on the ceiling, so that means I could get the bread down. And he takes a couple of sticks and he ties them together, stick, until he pokes the bread and he gets it down. Says the Anaf Yosef, we've progressed. He doesn't say it exactly like this. I'm tweaking it. We've progressed. The Torah is no longer a big boulder of dirt. It's not bland and dry and empty. It's now a loaf of bread. It smells good. It tastes good. Hey, the guy who breaks that whole boulder, he learns two halachas today and two halachas tomorrow and an omelet today and an omelet tomorrow until he has a little pack, a little package of Torah. So now he starts to see, it's not as bland as it seemed in the first place. It smells good. But then two things might happen. One guy says, he starts to appreciate the depth of Torah, the wisdom of Torah. He's overwhelmed. Wow. I thought, you know, you learned Daf Yomi, and then you're the Gadol Hador. And now what do I see? The Torah is so deep, so big, smells too good. He faints, he leaves, he can't. Then why should I bother? It's overwhelming, I can't do it. It's too big for me. And the Chacham says, la la, well, one step at a time. Yeah, one stick, and he ties it in another stick, ties it again another stick, until he gets some of the bread. But then there's a third guy, or a third stage, that I've been learning. I know a little bit. I actually get a geschmack. It tastes like bread. I enjoy it a little bit. But what happens? So the medrash says a story again. A guy is hired to fill up barrels. But unfortunately for him, all the barrels have holes in them. So he goes, he fills up a barrel, the holes, everything falls out. So the tipesh, the unsmart guy, says, what's the point? Why should I bother filling up barrels? They have holes. It's not going to, nothing stays in. He leaves. But the chacham, what does he do? He says, what am I getting paid for? I'm not getting paid, you know, for what's in the barrel. I'm getting paid to fill up barrels. I'll fill them up. If it falls out, it falls out. I'm getting paid to fill up. So too with Torah. The person learns. He's interested. He enjoys it. And he forgets. He forgets. Nobody can remember everything that they ever learned. Well, some people could, but not most of us. We don't remember. We forget. It's inevitable. So what does somebody, one guy says, listen, I try. I end up forgetting what I learned. What's the point? Forget it. He leaves. The Chacham says, right, like the Ashkenazim say, what do we say, the bracha on Talmud Torah? Lasok b'divrei Torah. Lasok. The mitzvah of Torah is to toil, to work on the Torah, to work. The process, not the result. It's about the process. If it's about the process, I keep going. Okay, I don't remember everything I learned. Doesn't matter. Weiter. But there's another, and I think this is the most important reason, the most relevant. These are all madrigas. The other things that, you know, the other things we spoke about already, it's a madriga to be holding that that's your Yetzer Hara. You know, one guy is Yetzer Hara, you know, I can't change, force myself to change, a madriga. Like, I'm not interested. Oh, I would like to learn Torah. It's just so uninteresting. Okay, a madriga. Next guy, you know, a higher madriga. Oh, it's actually interesting. I'm just overwhelmed by how vast it is. Okay. The other guy's interested and he enjoys, etc. He just gets depressed because he forgets a madriga. All different high levels of people who deterred from learning. But I think the next example is perhaps the most relevant. The Stipler in the Sefer Chaye Olam, he says the 5-minute reading side. He says, Yadua, ki ha'olam hazeh ein bo kidei sviya. Lo'olam yargish ha'adam shu chaser ma. In this world, nobody is ever satisfied. Hashem created us with an empty feeling, with a drive to fill up that emptiness. That's the way we are, every person in the world. We have an empty feeling and we have a drive to fill in the emptiness. Like Chazal say, ein adam meis v'chatzi ta'avosav biyado. Right, a person spends his whole life pursuing physical things, pursuing wealth, houses, cars, vacations. There's always something that he wanted that he couldn't have. Nobody, Yesh Maner wrote some Asayim, Yesh Masayim wrote some Arbamios. Has 100, he wants 200, he has 200, he wants 400. Now I have a friend, this is just Derech Agav also, I should mention this, nice story. I have a friend who, we were in Mevasera together, and we were in YU together, base medrash guy, really great, star guy, actually, this Chaye Olam, was first shown to me by him when I was in the Mevaseret, Shana Aleph. And in YU, he told me, he said he decided to go to law school. Great, you know. So why does he want to go to law school? He wants to go to law school. He said, I'm going to graduate at the top of my class. I'm going to work super hard in law school. I'm going to get a job at the best firm. And I'm going to make a ton of money in 5 years, maximum 10 years. I'm retired, learning in Kola the rest of my life. Wow, that's great. Good luck. So, I spoke to him a number of years ago also. I have to get an update. But the last time I spoke to him, we had the following conversation. I remember standing in my in-law's basement on the phone with him. He's telling me, I was like, yeah, like, how's it going? He's like, can't believe it, I'm making so much money. He's like, I don't know, I'm making tons of money. He said, both of his parents were professionals. I'm making more money than both of my parents put together. This is in the first, I don't know, 5 years into his job. He went to law school, he graduated top of his class, he got a job at law school. I was like, great, that's, you know, I'm also doing really well, you know. He said, I hate every second of every day. I was like, what? He's like, I hate it. I can't stand this job. It's so excruciatingly boring and tedious, and I push it, can't stand it. I wish I was a 10th grade Rebbe in high school. I was like, wow, okay, go for it, you know, 10th grade Rebbe. He's like, nah, it's too late for that. Married. Kids, standards. We have standards. I can't just drop my standard of living to what you're living on. You know? Doesn't work that way. This is what we need to live. This is what we need to make it now. I need to do this. It's never enough. You know, a person thinks, a grand plan. You know, some people do it. Very, very few. A grand plan, to make a bajillion dollars, and then, yeah, I'll conquer the Torah. Yeah, right. So the Stipler says, everybody has this emptiness. And everybody has a drive to fill it up. So we look for ways to fill it up. He gives a muscle, the Gra says in a letter. You know, a person goes to this world, he looks for money and cars and girls, or whatever it is, to fill up the emptiness. So it's like a person who's drinking salt water from the ocean. He's so thirsty. So he goes to the ocean. Ah! There it is. Scoops out a cup of water. Downs it. He's like, he's quenching his thirst. Yeah. Ah! Ah! Oh, I'm thirsty again. He scoops up another one. Scooping and scooping and scooping. It doesn't matter how much he scoops out of the ocean. His thirst never going to be quenched. He's always going to be more thirsty than he was before. If you look to fill up the void with olam hazeh, it's a never-ending story. It can't be filled. If you look to ruchnius, if you look to Torah, to mitzvos, that's the only way to fill it. You feel a sense of satisfaction, a sense of accomplishment. You're driven to accomplish more, but not from a place of emptiness, but from a place of fulfillment. So I just jotted down for myself over here a few of the... where are we looking to fulfill ourselves? So a couple years ago, this is my first experience with this, so it's happened many times since, unfortunately. But not many times, but enough times. I was giving shiur, and I noticed the guy on his phone, you know, like right now, I noticed it also. And I noticed it always in shiur, the guy's on the phone. So I said to the guy, yeah, classic, give me your phone. Give me your phone. So he tries to put up a little resistance, fails miserably, obviously, and he gives me the phone. So I couldn't help myself, but I peeked to see what exactly it was that he was doing. I was trying to say shiur, geshmak shiur, and he was on the phone. What was so intriguing? So he was in a download mode. He was downloading a TV show, Gossip Girls. Everybody's like, Gossip Girls! Everybody's making fun of him, girl show. And he's like, oh, nobody said anything. On the last episode, some guy's like, it's a guy! Maven Yavim? I don't know. I wasn't so Maven at the time, but that's the punchline of the whole whatever that he was waiting for. I was like, you're looking to, you're empty! You're empty! So you fill up with Gossip Girls! This year, unfortunately, I hope the person's mocho me. I'm not going to say who it is, obviously, but I'm going to make fun of it a little bit. The guy tells me this year, you know, he's downloading also. Downloading. What are you downloading? Friends. Friends. That was from when I was in high school. Friends. I was like, what are these friends? He's like, I'm on season 2. Don't say anything. Season 2. I was like, what do you mean you're on season 2? He's like, yeah, I watched all of season 1. It's like God knows how many hours of Friends. And now I'm in season 2. I was like, well, how many seasons are there? I don't remember. 10. Base. 7. Okay. Thank you. Season 2, don't tell me what happens. Blah, blah, blah. What? We made a little cheshbon on the board, you know, like 10 million hours of Friends that you're going to watch between now and the end of the year. Are you kidding me? And this is when you come to Eretz Yisrael to learn yeshiva, you're watching Friends? You're watching Gossip Girls? It's pathetic. It's partially pathetic. I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day. He's like, how's Torah Shrag going? Yeah, good, Baruch Hashem. It's great. Great. Good batch this year. He's like, what do you see? Like, what are the big distractions? I said, oh, good. That's my, you know, my specialty. So I like, fantasy sports. I mentioned fantasy football. The guy, all day long, fantasy football. You know, it's mamish crazy. It's like, fantasy football. He's like, what, is there real football? The first football is a fantasy. You know, people think, oh, fantasy football is bad. No. Real football, okay, the Seder, you know, at least it's real. You know, these guys standing there with the ball, you know, grown men, and everybody's watching them. Okay, I also had a Yitzhar for football. I still have one, but it's like I can make fun of it. It's my mom's feel, the ridiculousness of it, even though I used to go to every Eagles game when I was a kid, season tickets. But these grown men running around the football, yeah, everybody's going crazy, you know, people throwing beer at each other. Maisim Shahayu. And, you know, and then you're like rooting for your team, like, yeah, we won! We did it! Shikayach, you know, like. We're in the playoffs, Super Bowl, you know, go to a lot every year. So we watch the Super Bowl. I don't stay up for it usually, or ever. But you guys come back, Kilo, you know. We won! And then what happens the next day? They won already. Now it's over. You won. You reached the climax. You won the Super Bowl. Psh. Especially if you're from out of town. There's like nobody even there. Who cares? You know, like, Patriots win again. Anybody here from Boston? It's absurd. It's mamish kriya. And then the dimyon gotolcha dimyon. So it's not enough that we have real football, which is not even real. Fantasy football. What is that? It's absurd. But why do we do it? Because we have an emptiness. We're empty inside. Hashem made us that way, and we need to fill in the void. You need to fill in the emptiness. And so we look for all different ways to fill it in. If my team wins, I feel good. I feel great. If I win the fantasy football thing, then I feel good. I filled in a little emptiness. But tomorrow, I'm just as empty as I was today. It's like drinking from the ocean, salt water. There's nothing there. And next year, your team's in last place, and everybody makes fun of you. There's nothing there. So what do we do? So I'm running out of time. To skip a few things here. What do we do? So I was discussing this with my brother, Shlita, the other day, and told me there's a nice Piazetzner. Nice Piazetzner. So he emailed it to me. I read it to you, it's very nice, very beautiful Lashon. It says, Im Ritzoncha Lavodas Hashem, Ulahalos Es Atzmecha Mala. A person wants to engage in Avodas Hashem, he wants to raise himself up. Losamur Bishnas Hashivim L'chayecha, Kivyomer Bar Mitzvah Shalcha. You don't want to be the same guy when you're 70 years old. You know, I know people like this. I feel so bad for them. You know, like the guy walks in, he can barely move. You know, he walks in with the cane, plops down on the sofa, he can barely open his eyes, and he watches a football game. That's all, you know, it's like, and he doesn't even care anymore. It's just like, that's what he's always done his whole life. So like, he doesn't know what else to do. So that's what it says. If you want to be a different person when you're 70 than you were when you were 13, so what do you have to do? He says that a person should imagine for himself now at a young age, where do I want to be in a year from now? Where do I want to be? And then he has a measuring stick. And he should measure himself as the year goes on. Are these things that I'm doing conducive to getting to where I want to be? Or are they not? One time I told a mashal, you have a... I don't know if you guys have this. I don't know if, you know, maybe it doesn't work this way anymore so much. But when I was a kid, in our house, so we had a couple showers. You know, one person in the shower, and somebody else goes into a different shower. He turns on the water. So all of a sudden, you're like getting this like, you know, geschmack, like nice pressure. And the other guy turns on the shower, and all of a sudden, it's like trickling out. It's the most annoying feeling. So our life is like that. We only have so much pressure. We only have so much energy to devote to all of our different pursuits. And the more faucets I open in life, so the less pressure I have on each one. Right? If a person wants to become a Talmud Chacham, but he also needs to watch every football game to follow his fantasy team, and he also needs to do this thing and that thing and the other thing, he opens 10 different faucets. So each one trickles, you know, barely a couple drops in each thing, and you know, tefasta meruba lo tefasta. We have to close some of the faucets, Rabosai. I feel bad. I feel bad, and I feel so tremendously lucky that I am about 15 years older than you guys. Because if I was in Israel now in your shoes, I don't know what I would do. You know, I remember what it's like to be in high school. I remember what it's like to be a sports fan, to have all sorts of different taivas and things. You know, but we came to Eretz Yisrael to Yeshiva. You know, everybody had a cell phone with, like, you know, if you wanted to play a game, there was a game called Snake. It was like this little dot on the screen that, like, do, you know, it was like barely moved. And there were no TVs, you know. If you wanted to watch a football game, you know, you could go to a bar and hope that they were showing your game. So it wasn't, nobody did that. There was no internet in yeshiva. There was nothing. So we just sat there. We had nothing else to do. We learned. You know, we're bored. You know, what are you going to do if you're bored? Maybe one day you go play ball. We didn't even have a basketball court on the campus. So like, what do you do? So you take a nap. How many naps can you take already? So the faucets were all turned off for us. We had to go learn. There was nothing else to do. We're both like, you now, everybody has these, look, I have one myself, right? It's an iPod. Yeah. And you're connected to everything that was before. Any game you want to watch, any show you want to watch, and a movie you want to watch, and the people you want to talk to, the people you should be talking to, the people you shouldn't be talking to, the things you should be saying, the things you shouldn't be saying, it's all right here. Nobody has to know. Nobody knows what you're doing except for you. It's so hard to turn off the faucets today. So difficult. I won't end with the mashal because my time is already up. But Rabbi said that's the avoda. Our avoda, mir tashem, we should all be zulcha to turn off some of the faucets, to try and aspire, like the Rambam said, to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, because we're capable. We all can. Masai yagia yagiu masai l'masai avosai avrim b'skuf Yaakov. Each and every one of us is capable of being that. Mir tashem, we should all be matzliach the rest of the day. Ashe, she may say, I'm going to